Take first of all from Exodus chapter 4, verse 1 and 2, and then chapter 14, 13 to 16. Exodus 4. Moses answered, "What if they do not believe me or listen to me and say, 'The Lord did not appear to you'?" Then the Lord said to him, "What is that in your hand?" "A staff," he replied. Exodus 14. Moses answered the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to move on. Raise your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea to divide the water so that the Israelites can go through the sea on dry ground." This is the word of the Lord.
Amen. In that, there was still some doubt in Moses' heart. How? How? What next? This is the Red Sea. You can't go forward, you can't go backward. Nowhere else to go. And these are the people I'm leading. And of course, God looked at him, "Why are you crying out to me? Why?" And that was when Moses knew that he had an authority in his hand. And of course, the rest is what we study in the scriptures. Using what was a simple shepherd's tool, a rod, to part the Red Sea. And it became a divine instrument in the hands of Moses that were able to cross the Red Sea. So this morning, brethren, God is asking, what is it that is in your head? That is a question that you need to answer. Now, from Exodus chapter 4, verse 2, we're made to understand that God uses what is already in your hand to work wonders. And in fact, God did not give Moses a sword. There was no very unique or spectacular thing for Moses to use as a weapon, but all he had was a simple rod. And so what this is telling us this morning is that you don't need to wait for any unique or better tool for you to be able to understand God's power in your life. God is not asking for what you don't have. God is simply asking for you to use what you already have. And so this is where it comes in our lives, that as individuals, we all need to understand that God has given us something or the other for us to be able to use in all our lives and endeavors. But one thing that we need to understand is that God does not act in vacuum. I was having this chat with a brother some time ago, and we both were just speaking about sometimes someone would say, "God will do it if it's according to God's will, if it's God's will." And so the question came up, what really is the will of God? So if we say, if God wills, yes, but what really is the will of God? And so in the line of discussion, we came to conclude that in the act of God and the power of God in our lives, God does not act in vacuum. So you need to present a portal for God to come in and act in your life. In the book of 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 1 to 7, and I'll read that much later on our own. The story of Elisha, and the widow came to cry out to him, "Oh man of God, please help me. My late father was in debt, and now is passed away. And this person is going to come in to take all I have through my son because I cannot repay. And the man of God asks her, what is it that you want from me? Okay, what do you have? And she said, all I have is just a jar of oil. You're fine, so you have something. Okay, now just go gather all as empty vessels as you can, as much as you can. Gather all vessels. That simple thing that you have, the oil, take it, place in each of those empty vessels. And of course, when she did, we all know what happened thereafter. You know, sometimes you just study these things, you say, oh, wow. But I have this principle that I keep sharing. Whenever you're studying the scriptures, don't study like you're reading fictions. These were things that actually happened. And the best way that you can relate with the scriptures is placing yourself in the character. And you'll be like, wow. And so God's power to help the poor widow was with what she had and not what she had not. We also have the example of David going in as a young lad to see his older brothers, getting into the battlefield. And here was the almighty giant Goliath, over 39 days plus, threatening the great army of Israel. No one could stand the giant. When you read his description, this was the champion of the Philistines, most dreadful Goliath. No one could stand for him. But David went in. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine defying the army of God? And when the moment came for David to go stand against Goliath, I mean, he could not go with the normal warfare and all that. Just a simple sling from a shepherd boy, and that made David the champion. This morning, God is making you to understand that whatsoever thing that you need Him to do for you is already in your hands. So the question right now is, what is in your hand this morning? I'm not asking what is in Brad Jordan's hand or what's in Brad Tony's hand. What is in my own hand? Because Brad Jordan's challenge is unique from mine. Brad Tony's one is different from mine. And so you don't wish that you had what Brad George has in his own hand for you to be able to overcome your challenge. Or wish that you have what Brad Tony has for you to overcome your own challenge. In that case, you put yourself in a state of lack. And when you identify lack, you only put God's power away from you. Because God cannot act in a state of lack. The story of the talents, right? The master came, gave one of them 5 talents. He gave the other 3, gave the other one 1. I mean, we might look at it and say, but why? Is the master unjust? No. But he knew that the man with the 5 talents was able to utilize the 5 talents. The one with the 3 talents was able to utilize the 3 talents. The one he gave one, perhaps he knew he would not be able to utilize it. And well, let me encourage him to do something and give him 1 talent. But guess what? The master was right. The one with the 1 talent felt he never had anything and he felt lack. And we can understand why the master was angry at him. I think there was a time that Ragari was actually analyzing the value of 1 talent, you know, in gold. Was huge. And so this morning, the essence is for us to understand that you never feel that you are lacking, because God does not act in vacuum. There is always a portal that God has given each and every one of us to present for him to come in through and act. And so based on God's blessings in our lives, when you feel that you don't have what it takes, then all you're doing is to put God off. Because again, God cannot act beyond what you think that he can do for you. And so much more is the reason why most times it seems like prayers are not being answered. Because of doubts. Coming again back to the children of Israel, if we recall why they had to face the Red Sea, it was because much earlier, if we read the book of Exodus, on their way out from Egypt into the promised land, the scripture says that God would have taken them through another channel that would have taken them 3 days to get to the promised land, to Canaan. 3 days. But God said, no. If I should take them through this way, they will see war against the Philistines and run back. And so because of that, the only avenue was to take them through the Red Sea. And that would take them a journey of 40 days. But guess what? A journey of 40 days became how many days?
40 years.
40 years. Why? Because of their own belief. Their own belief is as a result of doubt, it's as a result of lack, it's as a result of grumbling, murmuring, not appreciating God, not seeing the hands of God in their lives, not believing that God could do this. And so, it slowed down the process in their lives. You and I sometimes we put ourselves in this position, but thank God for his grace through Christ Jesus. What is in your hands? The second point again is your obedience activates God's power. My obedience to God's instruction activates God's power in my life. In verse 16 of Exodus chapter 14, God told Moses, but lift up thy rod and stretch out thy hand over the sea and divide it. Yeah, he had the rod in his hand, right? But lift up the rod, stretch it over the sea. And so, the miracle of the Red Sea got activated, not just when the children of Israel prayed, not when Moses cried out. That actually came in. But the actual answer was when Moses obeyed and lifted up the rod. All what God is asking is obedience. According to the scriptures, that it's only by obedience, and of course, it's laws and not burdensome. But you know, sometimes it looks like the law of God is too hard, it's because the law of God, the things of the spirit, and the things of the flesh are parallel. They war against each other. And so, most times, for those who are most carnal, it looks like the law of God is burdensome. And so, obedience unlocks God's power in our lives. The answer of God so our prayers can only come when we obey his words. And so it was not just only about the rod, but it was also about the obedience to God's instruction. And so you ask yourself, how well are we utilizing what is in our hands in accordance to his own instruction? So this morning, what is in your hands and how are you utilizing what is in your hands in accordance to what God has instructed you to do? And so, most times in life, you may feel You're too small. You're not rich enough. You know, you're not competent enough. And sometimes, you know, the mindset and the mind frame of bringing yourself down and using that to justify why you cannot actually achieve or to overcome. What we need to understand is that God does not act based on our emotions. God does not act based on your emotions. No matter how sad you might be, and thinking that by your deep emotional states that God will come in to answer no. But what God is asking is for you to do what He has asked you to do. And by doing that, we'll come to really understand that there's power in the Word of God. Last week I went in with someone, and you know, there was this movie we went to the cinema to see. And of course, the entire movie, the whole thing, and the character was casting out a demon and carrying the Bible. Of course, we all know, you know, it's always something very typical. Sometimes some people go to bed and they carry the Bible, put it under their pillows, under their bed. Some people want to drive their cars, they put the Bible, you know, and they see the Bible like, you know, to such. What I interpret personally to that is that you end up making the book like an idol. Because the power in the Word of God is not just the book, but it's in the Word, and studying the Word and applying the principles of the Word. That is where the power in the Word comes in. And so most times for us as Christians, we end up like in Africa, the proverb where it says that a man does not stand by the riverbank and wash his face with spittle. So in the midst of the abundance of God's blessings, we place ourselves in a state of lack, in a state of frustration and doubt, simply because we do not apply the power in the Word. And so it's just typically like a Serena Williams holding a racket in the hand of a Serena Williams. It's $1,000 job per game, right? But in the hand of Brad Francis, it's just a simple racket. It can't do anything. Why? Because I've not activated the principles and the skills of turning the racket into making money. A football boot in the legs of Lionel Messi is hundreds of thousands of pounds weekly. But in my legs is just a regular fashion. I mean, just be able to go out and come. Even if Lionel Messi should give me his boot, it's not going to make me to be a star like him. Because I've not activated the skills to be able to translate that into a profession. And that's exactly the state that most of us as Christians find ourselves with the Word of God. And so to most of us, the Bible is just like any other regular book on our bookshelf. In fact, even to some, every other book on the bookshelf has more value than the Bible. But the power in the Word comes in studying and in applying it. That's exactly the same question. What is in your hands, brethren? So in all of this, in conclusion, God is still asking, as He asked Moses thousands of years ago, what is in your hand? God is not asking what you wish that you had. That's not the question that God is asking this morning. He's not asking me, Francis, what do you think you would like to have, or what do you wish you had? He's not asking me, what does my judge have or what does my judge have in his hand? He's not asking me that question. And then Isaiah asking me, what do I lack? Because the Bible has told us to understand that for every individual that God has given us all things that pertains unto life and godliness. In Ephesians chapter 1, read the entire chapter 1, we come to understand that for everyone born of God and a Christian, that such an individual has received all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places through Christ Jesus. So what is it that you have? You may hold the pen, you may hold the song, the business idea, the prayer life, a testimony, a gift, a heart to love. But whatever is in your hand, put it in God's obedience. Stretch it in faith and use it unto His glory. Because for all, God has given His blessings. Sometimes, and most times, you might feel the frustration, the doubt, and the despair because you lack the trust. It's not just to believe that God can do it, because Moses actually told the children of Israel, wait, stand still, and you see the power of God. But even in his conviction, he was still confused until God told him, why are you crying out to me? So, if I come and I ask, do you believe that God can do it? Say, yes, I believe that God can. But do you trust that God can do it? Now that is where the question comes in. How well do you trust? You know that believe and trust might be two different contexts. I used an illustration some time ago. Circus, you know, a man was entertaining the crowd. A rope tied about 10 feet off from the ground, and he asked the crowd, they all cheered. He said, do you all believe that I can ride this bicycle from this point to that point, or this thin rope hung like 10 feet up from the ground, 20 feet up from the ground? And they all said, no. And he rode the bicycle on thin rope 20 feet above the ground to the other end. And they all cheered and clapped, said, yes. Do you all believe I can ride back to the other side? They all said, yes. Who would trust to come on my back for me to carry him or her to the other side? No one could. They believed they could, right? But no one would trust that risk to do that. Sometimes, that's the state that we find ourselves. We believe that God can, but do you trust that He can? Is a question you need to ask yourself. I recall when Rangari was taking us in the lesson last week, sometimes most of us trust in the principles and the system of this world than we trust in God. Most of us place orders. We shop online. You make your payments. You place your order. You get all in your cart. Boom! Your deal is sealed. And then you get notification. You get your package delivered in 3 days. Yeah, you don't bother yourself anymore with that because you trust the system, right? That your package will be delivered. But when you pray, you get all your products in the cart and you send it off to God. Do you walk off believing that your package will be delivered? Ask yourself the question very well. And so in all, it's our sincere prayers that we should not only just walk around and thinking that things will work out in the vacuum. But we need to put it into action. Faith without works is dead. And in our works, it takes what is in our hands to be able to activate God's power in our lives so that His blessings be made manifest in our life. Because God loved your life so much that on the day after creation, He saw that all was perfect and He made man to have dominion over all. So believe and trust God that you have dominion over all that He has created. But you only limit yourself if you do not trust and believe in this. And it's our earnest prayer that God God will continue to help us to dedicate our lives and our hearts in Him, to put our trust in Him, and to believe that in all circumstances, God has given us the tool and the instrument. Don't look at just a stick, don't see just a rod, don't see just a paper, don't see just a pen, but see an instrument through which God's power will come with and manifest His blessings in our lives. So may God bless us in our hearts in Jesus' name.
Amen.